finally the closer, sharing episodes from our virtual happy hour, kicking off the virtual Next conference this year. Did this as a 90-minute live Facebook event. Yeah, something a little bit different. We do more of those in the future. But the last interview of the night, we saved this one for last, a great closer in Steve Anderson. If you don't know who Steve Anderson is, you need to stick around and listen. Also, check out his podcast, Profiles in Leadership. But Steve created, along with some friends, something called the Graham Sessions. We dig into what it is and what you can experience there. And then Steve shares three really powerful stories from a speech that he gave called I Believe in the Gray. He delivered this at this previous Graham Sessions this year. And three really, really great stories that you and I definitely can learn from in your personal and professional lives. So dig in as Steve Anderson closes the virtual happy hour with us. Episode is brought to you by the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, the leaders in orthopedic physical therapy practice. They're together. If you're looking to advance your practice, check out orthopt.org. Recently just gave away access to their current Concepts of Orthopedic Physical Therapy course, which is a perfect way to prepare for the OCS exam. So if you're thinking about that, who you're going to learn from, who you're going to learn with and prepare for that OCS exam to become a better orthopedic clinician, who better than the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. Again, check out all they have to offer educationally at orthopedicpt.org. Also want to say thanks to our friends at Arius Medical Staffing, the leaders in travel physical therapy and permanent placements as well. Check them out online at AUREUSmedical.com to see what they have that's perfect for you. AUREUSmedical.com. Find out where you can go and be a great therapist in this country of ours. Again, AUREUSmedical.com. Let's start the show.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. This is the PT Pintcast. May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
I want to thank Tara Jo for dropping by. Good to meet somebody. I was looking at the roster and I realized Tara Jo was the only person I didn't know in person. I hadn't met in person before the other broadcast. We bring this guy on. We got a chance to talk and then we got a chance to talk in person at CSN. Last CSN we had in the Mile High City. Matt Tuttle, physical therapist. Welcome to the show, my friend. Welcome back to the show. You snuck in early.
Yeah, Jimmy, I appreciate you having me. It's always a good time to chat with you. We've stayed in pretty good touch since then.
Yeah. So let's give people a back. Well, first question is always the hardest. What are we drinking? I got Magic Hat number 9. And what do you got again? What is
that? I'm still on the mojito train. I'm going to lie.
You got a salad on the top. A lot of lettuce on the top of that drink. I like it, though. It tastes good. Matt, your background, for people who don't know, you get to, of course, you're supporting the team right there across the chest. The Denver Nuggets, you get to work with those guys. Lead sports scientist, physical therapist at Denver Nuggets. But right now, we got a hole in our heart right now. We just want to mention that we are waiting for you guys to come back because sports kind of binds us. Do not want to do it until it is completely safe. That's got to be hard for you guys. How are you? What are you doing in the meantime? What are the athletes doing?
Yeah, it's not just challenging for the public. It's challenging for all of us. I think working in professional sports, you eat, sleep, and breathe your job, which can't be lost on students who are interested in this field. So currently we're allowed to be in the building for four players at a time, getting ready for what we hope is a potential return to the season. There's a lot of rumors floating around out there. I know as much as anybody else who can read ESPN on the rumors. But
right.
Yeah, so we've done a nice job of keeping guys ready. Our strength coaches did a great job of ordering Pelotons for guys so they could keep some cardiovascular base, which we know is protective against injury, and sending out programs and just hoping that we get enough lead up time to build our guys up and be ready for the season when and if it comes back.
Talking about timing really and figuring out how much is too much, how much is not enough, when, whatever factors. You had an article in BJSM, how to fix problems of exercise prescription in the NBA, challenges and tips to move forward. Really, it broke down into three areas, right? I didn't realize that the preseason is super short in the NBA. How recent is that? I don't follow the NBA as closely as some others, but like how short's the preseason?
Yeah, so it's been a big change over the last few years. Previously, there was more preseason games and there was a bigger duration for guys to get ramped up, but that has shrunk now to 3 or 4 preseason games and
wow,
an official duration of just about 3 weeks. So
it's nothing.
It's nothing. And what we understand about adaptation from musculoskeletal, neuromusculoskeletal care is that duration takes a lot longer. So generally, guys are really responsible about getting in town earlier, and we can have unofficial workouts, and guys can work out with our strength coaches with us and build up. But that short duration, we need to figure out how to cram in an appropriate amount of work while not being too much or too little to hopefully be protective against injury in season.
Important there. So that'd be the first thing, pre-season. Second, going with in-season strength training. And that's something I guess I didn't think about. You know, you don't really think about it when you watch these guys, these professional athletes, the top of their game, right? How much do you want them doing in their off days? Because you see them on the court, but to get them from court to court to court is travel, is lack of sleep, is media obligations, is sponsor obligations. You've got to juggle all that. Plus, if they're in airports or if they're on buses, what are they eating? So in-season strength training, there was a really great highlight in there, which is, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're one of the authors on this thing in BJSM, was that physically they recovered after 24 hours, but self-reported fatigue, they felt like they needed 48 hours. So yeah, physically in objective measures, they were back to baseline or back to themselves after 24 hours, but they still felt it for another day.
Yeah, and I honestly, if you really dive into the research from other sports, which have a bigger research base in the NBA, you can look at full recovery up to 72 hours, which in the NBA, when you're playing 3 to 4 games a week, it's just a timeline that just doesn't happen. So it's an interesting balance. The in-season training is a serious demand. I give Johnny and Kyle a hard time, but we utilize BFR in season for getting physical adaptation and metabolic adaptation without blowing these guys out of the water when they may be playing 3 games in 4 nights. I think those changes are important to understand, and it's why the physiology courses that we get in PT school and then building up from there into what we get in clinical practice is so important.
Yeah, you need to keep these athletes strong, obviously, and they need to be, you know, at the top of their game. But when there's not a lot of time between games, you've got to juggle how much is too much and how much is needed. You talked a little bit about microdosing exercise. Get into what that means.
Yeah, so this probably goes against some of what the strength coaches think and probably what some of the strength coach research is. But I feel like we have a big enough body of evidence right now to say that any mild increase in load can be protective against the typical stressors. So if my body is used to playing 3 to 4 NBA games a week, and I do nothing besides that, my body is going to adapt to that level. And we are going to only be at that level, and we're going to accept the risk of being at that level. But if we can push a little bit, like if we can get a BFR session in after a game, or if we do have 2 days between games, we can get a little bit of loading in between. While it may not be that physiological adaptation that we've defined in the CSCS exam for years, maybe we are protective against the stressors of the season. So building a callus to the stressors in the off season and then maintaining that callus in season is our big focus throughout the NBA year.
When you guys are on the road, where are you doing your workouts? Is there like a visiting team gym, or how's that work?
It's super interesting, and it depends on the city.
Planet Fitness? You guys out there at Planet Fitness? Some reps in? Oh, please tell me no.
No, so we're not there. But a lot of times, our strength coaches in the NBA are not respected to the level that they deserve to be. So often, it may be working out in a hotel gym. And while we have the opportunity to stay in some super nice hotels, oftentimes it doesn't equate to super nice hotel gym. So we're bringing a lot of equipment on the road. Teams are generally familiar enough with each other that they can use each other's weight rooms pregame to get a lift in or to get some conditioning in. But the setup certainly isn't perfect. And then from a, like, if you're going to live in that strength and conditioning standpoint versus the medical standpoint, it's the same thing. Like, we're setting up in hotel rooms and setting up tables in hotel rooms and in visiting locker rooms, which may be are significantly smaller than your home setup. So it's always being able to adapt on the fly to these demands.
Dude, I walk into a hotel gym and I see like two NBA dudes in there. Like, I'm leaving. I'm not competing with that. I'm like, you know what? You guys got it. I'm going to be down at the spa just hanging out. So conclusions from this, you really focused on the dose of exercise, the timing of when it happens, right? Mm-hmm. We mentioned the objective, their recovery objective, objectively is 24 hours, but subjectively is up to 48 hours. And then sleep, we've done several episodes on that, and we've kind of delved into why things maybe are better, why maybe home field advantage or home court advantage might be going away with improvements in sleep, which is good, which means our athletes are recovering. So what'd you guys take away with this? You and your co-authors as well. Do you want to mention those guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So Steve and Paul were awesome on the piece. Steve's another PT with us, and then Paul Marshall's a PhD out of Australia. So those guys deserve all the shout outs in the world for being helpful on this. I think from the sleep standpoint is just to continue to emphasize with athletes that these kind of 10 or 20% of fringe modalities or fringe things that we think we can do are not your home runs. So your big home runs are sleep, nutrition, recovery, your load in the off days. Those are your big ones. And if you're not hitting those as well as you can, this fringe stuff probably isn't as important. So those are really the take homes, I think, for individuals, is to understand what is load management from not the ESPN side, but from the physical standpoint, from the physiological standpoint. And then what are recovery modalities in their purest form, which are sleep and nutrition. So let's take that stuff. Let's be really, really great at it. And then after that, we can get into some of the other stuff like hydrotherapy, performance, some of the other performance gains, and then build from there. I see the Brandon Gillum text. He's coming in on there. For anybody wondering, he is the PT. He's the director of rehab for the Miami Heat. So a little bit of support throughout the league is always good. And knowing that we're going in a better direction is important.
Good question coming in right now. I want to bring on the screen. I believe I asked you this as well, and I wanted you to tackle this one. In regard to sleep from Ashley Jones, does a team typically travel to the next location of the night of the game? Are those guys slapping five and then going right through TSA, or how's that work?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think so. I was a music minor while I was a biology major, so you understand some of the musical side of how people travel versus the sports side. It is a quick pack up. It is like you see concerts packing up. We are on the floor getting our gear. We're in the locker room packing up, and generally we're out that night. That said, we are changing. We are pushing for more overnight stays. I can say that we're up about 40% since my time with the Nuggets on staying over after games, which I think is really important. It's a huge win. It would be unjust to sit here and say that, you know, these guys don't necessarily go out at night, or coaches don't go out at night, or staff go out at night after a game. But the majority of people are in the hotel getting rest, and still getting in late at night and getting a full night of sleep in a hotel is better than getting in at 2, 3, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning and then getting a bad night of sleep and being back at the arena at 11 o'clock the next morning for treatments or workouts or practice. So it is changing, but I can say that a lot of teams are typically traveling at night.
Why do you think that is? Why that moving in a positive direction in terms of recovery? Is that the NBA teams realizing, you know, hey, owners, and saying, hey, if we give them a little bit extra rest, these guys are going to go down less. And when they go down less, they perform more.
Totally. It's a performance and it's a financial decision. It sounds bad to say, but.
Oh, it's a human yeah. decision. And then it's a finances follow.
For sure. And Jimmy, you know me well enough that I am going to be honest about this stuff. That
sure, that's what we have.
We are a performance decision and how guys are going to be able to perform at their same standpoint. But we also know that injury risk increases with a decrease in sleep. And if you were an owner making a decision about do we stay at night, do we not, or we're presenting that we think we should, that financial incentive is very different than a player making $30, $40 million a year being down for 6, 8 months with a long-term injury. So it's always pushing that and understanding who you're speaking to and what their bias is to make that decision.
I love that.
Because our bias is always the health of the athlete, is always to have availability. I don't care about the finances, but I need to know that people do, and that is their bias.
Yeah, even my brother's dog agrees. Jasper is locked out of the room right now, and he is fired up about hearing about more sleep. That duck golden retriever loves to sleep, so love to hear that. We got Steve Anderson coming on next, so I want to give you an opportunity to do your parting shot. Let's do that right now.
This is the parting shot.
All right, you've done this before. Audience watching right now live on Facebook and YouTube, listening on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. What's your parting shot tonight, Matt, here on the Virtual Happy Hour?
Yeah, I feel like I would be I'm not generally a very political person in the public sphere with Twitter and Instagram. I try and keep it professional, but I feel like I would be doing a disservice if I didn't say right now that, especially working in the population that I work with, that we need to be better as a population about acceptance and equality and working together and loving each other as humans. I think if I didn't say that right now, I would be doing the wrong thing. For how I have been able to get this platform and be established as an individual. So love everybody around you, support everybody around you, and understand that these problems are still a real issue. And even if you don't see them day to day as an individual, that they still happen. So go bigger, do more. Jimmy, you and I have been talking a lot about triathlon and Ironman recently, and I'll be doing an Ironman whenever we're able to return to races. And I think my big push is going to be to benefit African-American, Black American healthcare in the city of Denver and try and raise money for that. So that's my parting shot.
I love that. You're doing something. We're talking about it right now, which is good. It's good.
Yes.
We need to do something about it, right? You know, just clapping or having a hashtag is a start. Yeah. It's a way to communicate the idea. The idea needs action. So I appreciate you saying that. Thanks so much. Let's do this again. This is our test run, our virtual happy hour.
Absolutely.
We need to do this again sometime very, very soon. Matt Tuttle, appreciate your time. Steve Anderson coming on next here at your PT Pinecast next virtual happy hour. Cheers, everybody.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pinecast.
Special thanks for supporting the virtual happy hour and for supporting the show goes to the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, the leaders in orthopedic physical therapy practice with educational offerings on their website right now, orthopt.org. If you're looking to advance your clinical practice as an orthopedic physical therapist, wouldn't it feel great to know that the people that you're learning from are the leaders in the profession and they've been doing it for a long time and doing it the right way? That would feel great, right? Imagine that feeling. And now go right to that website and you've got it. orthopt.org recently gave away a copy, access to the current concepts of the orthopedic physical therapy from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy to a lucky listener. So check out what they have if you're looking to advance your clinical practice by maybe taking the OCS exam. Yeah, current concepts of orthopedic physical therapy is a perfect preparation course for you. Go there now, see what they have to offer, orthopt.org. Again, go there now, orthopt.org. Our home on the internet,
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.